Have you ever said a desperate prayer that God didn't seem to answer? How do you deal with the disappointment you feel when that happens? Skip McCarty's article, What About Unanswered Prayers?, appeared in the January 2021 edition of Signs of the Times. Your narrator is Joshua Kittleson, and I'm the Member Services Liaison Lead at Christian Record. I sat across the dining room table from Neil, a brilliant teacher of the Christian faith. He'd jeopardized his job over a matter of conscience and had been fired. He asked God to help him find another job in his specialized field, confident of his aid. Although he'd sent his resume all over the nation, nothing came of it. Month after month, he prayed and waited with no response. Now he was telling me that he was about to take a job that might compromise his faith. I'll never forget his words. If God is my father, as I've always believed, then why didn't he answer me? I would never treat my children like that. I'm no longer sure there is a God. King David testified that unanswered prayers were as traumatic for him as the death of a close friend or relative. He said in Psalm chapter 35, verses 13 and 14, "When my prayers returned to me unanswered, I went about mourning as though for a friend or brother. I bowed my head in grief as though weeping for my mother." Unanswered prayers are devastating because of the high expectations that Bible promises suggest. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, "Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." While other Bible passages put qualifiers around apparent blank checks like this one, generally we're encouraged to expect answers to prayer. Unanswered prayers may be a closet secret for the church, but they're no secret in the Bible. Most of the book of Job is the story of unanswered prayers for God's intervention. Job chapter 30, verses 20 through 23. Paul prayed three times for relief from a serious affliction, but God never removed it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. In Psalms chapter 88, verse 14, Haman the Ezraite poured out his bewilderment to God over his unanswered prayers. He apparently had an ailment from his childhood that made him a social outcast. Taught to believe in prayer, he petitioned God for healing, but deliverance never came. Haman asked, "O Lord, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me?" And Psalms chapter 91, verses 9 through 10 promises, "If you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent." On the other hand, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37 and 39 speak of people who made God their refuge, yet some were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. What are we to make of these unanswered prayers? And even more important, what are we to make of our own? Here are a few practical steps that may help. Number one, talk to God openly about your disappointment and disillusionment. God himself brought this issue into the open, as we have just seen, because the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible verses that accuse God of not answering prayers and not keeping his promises. What might God possibly have had in mind by allowing such prayers to be included in the Bible? I believe it was his way of saying, "I understand how much it hurts when you feel I've let you down. When that happens, I want you to talk to me about it." Grief therapists tell us that an important step in recovering from a devastating loss is to acknowledge the hurt we're feeling and talk to someone about it. Denying the hurt and refusing to discuss it delays and can prevent a healthy recovery. When God's silence has hurt us, it's healthy to tell him what we're feeling. Our repressed feelings of hurt and disillusionment can develop into bitterness and a callousness that refuses to pray lest we get hurt again. I know of no other way to reconcile with God from the hurt and estrangement caused by unanswered prayers than by talking through it with him. That's what Job did. He felt that God had treated him unfairly and told him so. Job chapter 6, verses 8 through 9. God told Job's three friends, "You have not spoken the truth about me, as my servant Job has." Job chapter 42, verse 7. God applauded Job for understanding that he was the kind of being who wanted to hear the truth about how Job felt rather than receive insincere, sugar-sweet language that masked his grief. Number 2. Seize the opportunity to grow. Job sensed no evidence of God's presence, yet he was able to say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Job chapter 13, verse 15. God had protected him in his hour of trial. As far as we know, it wasn't that way for Haman the Ezraite, yet he still sought God daily. And while God didn't give Paul relief, he enabled him to grow in his faith and honor God through it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 indicates that whenever God allows a trial to come to us, he also supplies the faith we need to endure it. Richard J. Foster, in his book, Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home, wrote, "We may not see the end from the beginning, but we keep on doing what we know to do. We pray, we listen, we worship, we carry out the duty of the present moment. When we learn to do it in the light of God's love, we also do it in the dark of God's seeming absence. We continue to ask even though there is no answer. We seek and continue to seek even though we do not find. We knock and continue to knock even though the door remains shut." Number 3. Recognize that an unanswered prayer might be a blessing in disguise. Some things we ask God for could harm us if God were to grant them. God is too wise and loves us too much to make such mistakes. As Ellen G. White, a wise writer on spiritual matters who lived more than a century ago, put it, "We are so erring and short-sighted that we sometimes ask for things that would not be a blessing to us, and our Heavenly Father in love answers our prayers by giving us that which would be for our highest good, that which we ourselves would desire, if with vision divinely enlightened, we could see all things as they really are." The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "In all things God works for the good of those who love him." God will allow nothing to touch the lives of his children but that which will contribute towards some higher good. Not even an unanswered prayer. He never leads us other than we would choose to be led if we could see the end from the beginning. Number 4. Realize that your unanswered prayer might benefit someone else. Undoubtedly, during World War II, many sincere German Christians prayed for a speedy end to the war, in favor of the Nazis. Their unanswered prayers benefited the world. When the would-be picnickers pray for a dry, sunny day, and farmers pray for relief from a drought on that same day, someone will be disappointed. Number 5. Consult past evidence. When Jesus hung on the cross, he felt completely abandoned. He was aware of the promise that he would be resurrected, but it still seemed that his heavenly Father had forsaken him. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Likewise, someone experiencing the devastation of unanswered prayer finds little comfort in the suggestion that there's no such thing as unanswered prayer. If we review our lives, we can all find experiences and blessings that are unmistakable indications of God's love and care. And when it seems as though God isn't responding, we, like Asaph, can draw strength from recalling them. If we understand all of God's promises as he intended them, we could better affirm that his promises will be fulfilled. They've never failed. They can never fail. This doesn't mean that we'll never experience legitimate feelings of disappointment and anger. Ironically, when we accuse God of breaking his promises, he responds with even more promises. On the superficial level, that doesn't make sense, but it works for some of us. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 14 to 15 foretold a time when God's people would say, "The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me." That's how it sometimes feels when we conclude that an important prayer has gone unanswered. But Isaiah said that when God heard his people talking like that, he responded, "Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you." Sometimes God asks us to hold on until the great day when everything will make sense. Ellen White penned these reassuring words, "The things hard to be understood will then find explanation. Where our finite minds discovered only confusion and broken promises, we shall see the most perfect and beautiful harmony. In the world to come, we shall see that our seeming unanswered prayers and disappointed hopes have been among our greatest blessings.